Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. As we do every month, we so enjoy when members of the Hastings Ministerial Association come to visit. And today, Pastor Paris Pash is in studio. He's going to talk about, of course, the wonderful Journey Church, which meets on Sundays at 9:30 at the Hastings Arts Center. But we also are going to talk about a broader view of the church, and I'm very looking forward to this conversation. How have you been?
Been quite well, actually, yes.
What's going on at the Journey Church, please?
We're just having a whole lot of, I was going to say fun, because it's fun for me.
Well,
but
joy, don't you think joy is our faith? Faith is joy-filled.
Yeah.
It's not solemn and quiet.
No.
Sorry.
At the Journey, we do make a fair amount of racket.
Yeah,
I mean,
there you go.
I love the sound of people chattering before church, after church. In fact, we use a line. We say, okay, folks, we're done. Leave slowly. So that they spend time interacting with each other. It's unfortunate to me when people see church as an event or a location.
Or an obligation.
Yes, worse than, yes.
Right.
Obligation
check,
is kind
check
of,
the box, but I got to get to my car because I don't want to be stuck behind all those cars leaving the parking lot.
I'd much rather they saw it as a community. We endeavor, maybe not always with great success, but we endeavor to try to create a sense of family. What does that look like? I play and tease and poke and have fun and laugh, not just before church, but during the service, after the service, because I want these people to know that there's no elite person of faith in the room. There are those that have walked longer, farther, but they're not in any better position with God.
But we're all on a journey, and I know that that was an important part when you planted this church.
Absolutely.
That word. And I think that's beautiful. Explain that again for people that might have forgotten.
Yes. Well, when we were first looking at the formation of our fourth church work plant that we would be involved in, we sought for, well, how do we label this? How do we kind of tell this last part of our story? And in the conversation with my wife, and all of a sudden it just came to her, it bore witness with me, we are on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed like such a fitting label for this next phase of what we were doing. We're a little bit more senior. I love the new pastors that Hastings has. Oh my goodness, Mo. We have some of the most impressive young leaders coming into
a sincere love of God is what I've found.
Pastoral roles. Yes. They love God. They're brilliant. They're well educated. Their hearts are wide open. And they even care what us old geezers think about church.
Well, let's talk about the Hastings Ministerial Association. It's been around a long time.
Yes. I'm old enough, 41 years now in ministry, I'm old enough to have remembered the days when the Ministerial Association was a select group of the big kids.
Mm-hmm.
They were the largest churches in town. They did general benevolency together. They interacted with one another, but it was only a small group of churches. When I participated early on, it seemed to me that the people, the rest of the churches, those all those small cluster groups were not in the room.
Was it by invitation only, or is it just kind of an oversight, do you think?
I think it just was a natural tendency for those that
the more mainstream.
They just ran with a bigger crowd and saw more value in interacting with each other. Whereas we that pastor smaller congregations, we've got so much to do because we wear so many hats that we don't think we have the window of time or the value to offer to a collective of pastors. Absolutely not true.
Probably the opposite.
Absolutely. We've set out on a course to try to get every pastor, every church inspired spiritual leader to participate in the Hastings Ministerial Association. We've had upwards of 18 out of 21 churches represented.
That's great.
It fluctuates, of course.
Right.
Pastors are busy people. We do work more than 1 hour a week. I don't know if your listeners are buying into that sad story.
Well, of course, but I hope they would know that.
But I've so enjoyed the ministerial because it helps us to be reminded that the church is bigger than my gathering. One of the challenges I've posed to my colleagues is that if you're not at the table, no one hears your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've seen over the years more leaders at the table.
It's great.
Another thing that I've encouraged and several of my colleagues have encouraged our colleagues in is that we probably will be more effective if we stop competing with each other and rather complement each other.
And was that a shift, you think, at a certain time or a certain leadership? But I agree with you.
Yeah, it actually, I observed it happening in the 80s. And then it grew, it got legs in the early 90s.
Okay.
We found ourselves seeing value in meeting one another. So our ministerial meetings, which used to be at a central location all the time, now we moved it from church building to church building to church building.
That's awesome.
Some of those pastors had never crossed the threshold of another church property. And what we found out was we had, in many cases, not all cases, but in many cases, a lot of similarities where we thought there were grand differences. Mm. Are there differences? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
But is that the ecumenical piece of it then you're saying?
Yes. Now, ecumenicism is it's a good thing, but it can become where everybody just says, well, let's put down all the things that are important to us and we'll just hang out in the same room together. That's really not what many of us in Hastings are in pursuit of. What we're more in pursuit of is how do we meet the other churches? Who are they? What do they believe? Where are they going? How are they functioning? So we'll sit around now and talk to each other about how we're approaching post-Easter. What are we doing that, and I don't mean just methodology, but what's most important for us to put in front? It's just a great conversation.
Do you find that's universal in Hastings?
I would say we have a high percentage of pastors who find value in that. Now, here's a comment that we hear quite often from a new person who moves to Hastings to pastor a church. They will come in, and in about 6 months, they will comment about the Ministerial Association, I've never been part of a group of pastors like this.
And I have to tell you, that is something that we hear at the radio station when your colleagues rotate in. I hear that all the time.
Yeah.
Hastings is very, very special in that regard.
Yes. Now, it's hard work. That means people have to like me. I have to make myself a little bit vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be the stoic leader of a religious entity. I have to be Paris Pash to my dear friend, and you know many of my dear friends.
I do.
One of them is one of my closest friends is Pastor Randy Berg.
Mm-hmm.
Randy and I are only a day apart in age.
I was going to say, are you the same person? Because sometimes I feel like you are.
Yes. Well, and I feel sad that that's the conclusion.
I have seen you together, though. So.
But we are friends beyond the Ministerial Association cordial meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that with a number of my colleagues, that we actually go to dinner together. We interact. We respect each other. When someone leaves my church in order to join one of these other churches, I don't feel shattered. I understand that, okay, that glove fit their hand better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy for them. I don't feel like we got robbed. No, they got blessed. And that moving away from the competitive model into the complementary model, it's just been a lot of joy.
So I know you wanted to talk about the value of the church. Can
yes.
you explain what that means, please?
Yeah. The church, unfortunately, has been labeled as a building, an organization. We often hear the phrase organized religion. Well, I don't want to do organized religion. I'm spiritual, but I don't want to do organized religion. But see, nowhere in the scriptures does the Bible refer to the church as a piece of architecture, as a location, as a 501c3. It doesn't recognize any of that. What the church is a body of people, a collective body of people who are in the process of getting to know God, a discipleship mode. And they get together and they worship God. They hear about what God says. They meet God's other fruits, flakes, and nuts, which is what the church is made up of. People are critical of the church. Well, there's too many hypocrites in it. Of course there are.
We're all hypocrites.
Why wouldn't the hypocrites be drawn to meet up together with other hypocrites who are longing to be freed from their burden? Of course the church is full of hypocrites. And it's led often by hypocrites. And I'm not demeaning my colleagues. I'll just label myself. There's a lot of things that I want to do that I don't do well. That's hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but the church, how do we get more kingdom focused? How do we get more, a broader view as church members? I think church leaders, at least in the Hastings community, we have a number of them who have a much broader view than their own little camp. They see the value of association with other church leaders.
But yet you don't call that ecumenical?
That's a term.
Okay.
And all I'm saying is that there's something.
Is it a negative term to you?
It can lead down a negative road because it tells us that we can't talk about what we're passionate about.
Oh, I see. Yep.
But I'm passionate about certain theological perspectives, passionate about my beliefs and my stance, and I want to be able to share that, but you can go ahead and share yours with me, and that's not the same thing that often takes place in an ecumenical environment. That's more in a setting that says, we're still growing up together. How does that work? Whereas ecumenicism, and please don't misread this, because we're going to call some of the things we do together as an ecumenical service. I know what that means. I just don't want it to become that diluted, kind of watered down, let's just talk about God, but not talk about Jesus. Let's talk about religion, but not talk about Christ. No, I'm passionate about Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to be silent about that. How do we do that? How do we make room for each other to talk about our emphasis?
How do we?
Well, one is, I think we need to boldly believe what we believe,
mm-hmm.
and then know that God is working on the other person as well as he's working on me. I love the scripture because it has so many of the explanations. It says we see through a glass dimly. We only know in part. We only understand in part. And so if I see a part and you see a part, if we meet together and we share our parts, it's very possible we could see clearly, more
mm-hmm.
clearly.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about the value, what does that mean?
Unfortunately, in our culture, the church is being criticized. It's being labeled as restrictive, unloving, unwelcoming. I find none of that to be true. None of it. I don't know where else in the world. I just know in the world that I am surrounded by, that is not true. We love the people who walk through our doors. We are unwilling to alter our theologies in order to make it appear as though we are more, I don't know, tolerant. We're not intolerant. We believe what we believe. And we believe it because we've met the guy who wrote the book. And we love that. And we want to share that insight with others. So the church, having that unfortunate cultural mislabeling, young people are moving, in many cases, away from that, I'll use their term, organized religion, away from the more biblically focused church and manufacturing their own idea of what spirituality could look like. That's their own idea. That means the opinion of one human being is guiding another human being. All I can say is blow the buzzer, drop the flag, sound the alarm, because that's where danger lives.
And has that happened over the course of history?
Yes. I would also say that it's happened over and over throughout history. So we're not in a brand new idea. Ecclesiastes is very clear. It says that there is absolutely nothing new under the sun. Whatever we're seeing today, seen it before. We have history to show it, and our Bible reveals an absolute plethora of those examples.
So is that maybe what you have spoken about in other interviews about the uncomfortableness, that if our religion is really just based on all feel-good stuff, that's pretty shallow?
Yeah, in fact, I love that term, shallow, because I think that every swimming pool that we build today has a shallow end and a deep end. Well, you don't bring somebody into the deep end and drop them in and hope they'll survive, but you also don't stay ankle deep. The goal is to get the courage and the confidence and the ability
to dig deeper,
to get in there deeper. And so, yes, the church should be very welcoming in those early days. But how do they woo you in? How do they encourage you to actually open up your own Bible and find out this breadth, this depth of what God has revealed to humanity? Well, that's part of the role of the church, is to give them enough of a taste when they visit to say, I got to find out more. How do I learn a little bit more about this? So my job on Sunday mornings is to make the scriptures seem intriguing
and relevant for today.
Absolutely. And some of that requires me poking a little bit at our lives, our society, our beliefs that we have conjured up. I'm the guy who came along in the flat earth world that used to believe that you could drive your boat off the edge of the earth. I'm the guy coming along and saying, you know what? God actually didn't say that the earth was flat. God said, and then give them the rest of the story. That's part of my task on any given Sunday or whenever I get the chance to talk.
Well, like today, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, it's so great to see you. Pastor Paris Pash is the pastor of the Journey Church. Tell about your services, please, where people can worship with you.
Thank you, Mo. We have the privilege of meeting in the Hastings Arts Center on 4th Street, the wonderful, previously used as a church, now used as a church. But we rented on Sunday mornings for 4 hours at 9:30 every Sunday morning, and we have great music. I think you'll find warm and friendly people. You'll find purposeful communication that you'll be able to take home and put to work.
Love it. So good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings. To pray.